This is Doug Miller. If you believe that God is not utterly and absolutely sovereign in all matters, you'd better stick around while we talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again with the Word of God in hand. We are in the book of Zechariah, and it is a profitable book. So bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Zechariah chapter 8. We will begin with verse 1. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. You are, as I've said many times, the only advertisers we have or are going to have. So call a friend. Tell them to listen. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this Word of God go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require not just your word-of-mouth advertising, but if you are a believer at all, we require and pray for your assistance. Pray for Dialogue. Write our names down on your prayer list and pray for me. Pray that God will open my mouth to speak the truth. Pray that God will guard the door of my lips so that I don't stumble people. And pray that God will give me the courage to tell it like it is, because people do need to hear this. And, of course, we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Anything we can do for you, any questions that we can answer, any materials that we can provide, if we've got them and you need them, you can get them with no strings attached. So let us hear from you. We also have an email address for those of you who are more up to date than I am, probably. Our email address is Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, O-R-G. Okay? Dialogueministries.org. And finally, if you would like to call and talk to me, my phone number, the phone number for Dialogue, is area code 405-535-9089. Okay, that's 535-9089. You will get a recording of me, and I will tell you to leave a message, and I will get back to you. And if you will leave a message, I will surely and certainly get back to you. All right, I believe that takes care of the preliminaries. Let's look at Zechariah 8 and see what the Lord has for us here. And immediately I am struck by the sovereignty and the power of God, and I'll show you why in a minute. But let me begin. I don't too often do this, but I'm going to do it this time. Last week I was talking to a man who said, "I've been hearing you on the radio with Zechariah," and he said, "I really have profited from that." And I said to him, and this is the truth, I said, "I am so glad to hear you say that, because if there is any book I have ever done on the radio about which I feel personally inadequate, it is the book of Zechariah." And I've been through a lot of them. I've taught Revelation on here, and Romans, and the Gospel of John, and the Gospel of Matthew, and of course we've been through Job and Acts and, I don't know, Genesis. You can just about any book that you can name, but this is the first time I have ever taught Zechariah, And it is not an easy thing to do. It is tough. At least it has been for me. And as I sit on here with this Bible in hand in front of this microphone, talking into it, I frequently feel my own inadequacy. I was talking to a group the other day. I lead a Bible study on Monday at noon in Oklahoma City at the Oklahoma Station Barbecue on 50th and Meridian in Oklahoma City. And incidentally, if you want to come out on Monday at noon to the barbecue place there, well, you can sit in. And we usually have between 20 and 30 people who are coming out to that. And we are right now going through the book of Revelation. And we'd be happy to have any of you out there join us. But that's not exactly why I started talking about this. I was talking to this group the other day, and I told them, I said, in all of my time as a believer, I never once had a preacher take to the pulpit and stand up and say, now we're going to study the book of Zechariah. I don't think I ever heard it taught, not in any church I was ever in. And I told them this, and they all said the same thing, never have. Well, it is. By way of just kind of a review, it is one of the apocalyptic books. There are three in the Bible. Two of them are in the Old Testament, Daniel and Zechariah, and the other in the New Testament, Revelation. And here is one of them. Here is, and all of the apocalyptic books, interestingly enough, all center in on the nation of Israel. And that, I am talking about Revelation as well as I am Daniel and Zechariah. All prophecy in the Bible, one way or another, has something to do with the nation of Israel. All miracles that were ever performed in the Bible are aimed right straight at the nation of Israel. If you say, well, I'm not a Jew, what's this got to do with me? Well, it has a great deal to do with you, but only peripherally. God is dealing with Israel, and he was dealing with Israel after he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. He stopped dealing with Israel, pointedly, to just pinpoint the time, after the stoning of Stephen. Not after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, but after the stoning of Stephen. Up until that time, God was still calling Israel to repent and to accept Jesus as their Messiah. They never have yet as a group. And after the stoning of Stephen, God really turned to the Gentiles. Okay? Now, you might, those of you who know about the stoning of Stephen, will remember that at the end of chapter 7, where Stephen is stoned and he, you know, and dies, it says that those who threw the rocks threw their coats and cloaks down at the feet of a young man whose name was Saul. Very pointedly, it brings his name into the picture here. And a friend of mine said one time many years ago, I remember him saying, well, Saul didn't exactly participate in the stoning of Stephen, but he held the coats of the men who did. Well, God was going to use this young man, Saul. It's not for nothing that his name is brought into it here, because it was Saul, who would later change his name to Paul, who was going out to the Gentiles with this gospel message. And God, for the last almost 2,000 years now, has not been dealing directly with Israel as such, but has been dealing with the church to take out a people for his name from among the Gentiles. When that is over, when the last Gentile has come in, and you may count on it, God is going to turn back to deal with the nation of Israel again. And his promises to Israel are going to be fulfilled. Now, as I have said before, much of Zechariah deals with things that were happening with Israel at the time Zechariah wrote. And much of it deals with things far off into the future, things that haven't happened yet but are going to happen. And in this chapter 8, we are looking at things that have not happened yet to Israel but are going to happen. Now, I know that I'm repeating myself, but just remember, for you Gentiles out here, you people who are a part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even those of you who are not saved but who may get saved, and I hope all of you, if you're not saved, you had better get saved, because you have not got a hope in the world until you receive Christ Jesus as your Savior and acknowledge that He died for you and was buried and rose again. But all of you Gentiles out here, if you say, well, what does this have to do with us then if it's all to Israel? What it has to do with for you is this, that the closer these events come to being fulfilled in Zechariah here, and much of it has to do with the great tribulation that is yet to come, the closer we get to that, the closer we are to the rapturing of the church, the catching away, and all the church is looking and waiting for that one. The Lord Jesus is coming back, and we, the church, will not go through this tribulation. The unsaved, and specifically the unsaved Jews, are going to be right in the middle of it, and it will center in on the nation of Israel. Now, we have here in chapter 8, God showing His sovereignty. If you will remember back in chapter 7, we had this question of ritual that came up. Here are the guys who, you know, are saying, well, look, we're doing all these things you told us to do. We're going through all this ritual, and it doesn't seem to be helping us any. Why not? Well, in chapter 8, we have God talking, and He is talking, and He is talking through Zechariah. The word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy. Now this word, Lord of hosts, the Hebrew is Yahweh Tzabaoth, I think. I hope I've got that pronunciation correct. I can kind of fumble around with Greek, but I know very little about the Hebrew, but I believe I've got that Yahweh Tzabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And the host here is a military host. This is the Lord of armies. And we have Yahweh Elohim here presented as one who is leading the armies of Israel and the armies of heaven. There are a host of angels that are at His bidding. And when I say a host, I mean a multitude that you can't number. And this term, Yahweh Tzabaoth, translated in the King James, the Lord of hosts, is, I think it occurs something like 18 times in this book. Now, what are we talking about? God is making it clear that there is a warfare going on, and it is a warfare that centers in on Zion. And He was jealous, He says, with a great fury. Thus saith Yahweh, I returned unto Zion. If you have the King James, it says, I am returned unto Zion. But the am is not in the original. It is, I returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Now let's just stop and talk about that a little bit. These are some things that we need to think about and look at. I was watching television just last night. A friend of mine, a believer, called me and said, turn on channel 13. There is a program just starting on the future of Israel. And I said, thank you kindly. He hung up, I hung up, I turned it on, and I watched this. Much of it did not surprise me. Some of it actually did. You've heard me say on here before, talking about the temple and the rebuilding of the temple, how that the religious Jews are not the least bit interested in the rebuilding of the temple, because they say Messiah has to build the temple. They are correct in that. Messiah will build the temple, but there will be, as I have said before, another temple built, and it will be the temple that will be defiled by Antichrist. That temple is coming down. It has not yet been rebuilt. It will be rebuilt, but it's coming down. Now, here is what I learned on this TV program that I watched. I didn't know this. Not only are these religious Jews over there, the Orthodox, the guys with the long, hair and wear the black hats and all of this, who stand at the Wailing Wall rocking back and forth and chanting Bible verses, not only are they not interested in rebuilding the temple, they don't even believe that the nation of Israel should be there. Why? Because they say that Messiah is the one who will bring about the nation of Israel and who will raise up the nation of Israel and create it. And they believe that this secular body or entity there in Israel right now is just a creation of man and has nothing to do with the Lord or has nothing to do with anything that the Lord is doing. Now, that's what they think. Well, I've got news for them. And I've got news for any of you who may think like them. We know, because of the prophecy of Ezekiel, the prophecy of the dry bones, that those who come back to Israel, the beginning of this return to Israel, which will be a trickle and which will be a remnant, that they will come back in unbelief and Israel will be established initially in unbelief. That's what the prophecy of the dry bones is all about. And you may go back and read that in Ezekiel. And you will notice that that when the dry bones come together, there is no breath in them. The breath is the picture there of the Holy Spirit. And so in seeing this nation of Israel as it exists today in the Middle East, we are seeing prophecy being fulfilled in this sense, at least, that the nation is founded and is raised up initially in unbelief. Now, Israel, as it exists today, God is not through with Israel, not by a long shot. And all of these people back there, and the bulk of them are unbelievers. They do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them don't even believe in God. They do not believe in the Bible, and they are strictly secular and are trying to put together a secular government and a democracy and a parliamentary form of government. And whatever they are doing there, they are in a lot of trouble, and they may not know it, but as of yet, they have not begun to see trouble. And I was watching this program, and, they were interviewing these Jewish people over there who are living in Israel, and they said, we're under the gun all the time. We are surrounded by hostile people all the time. They don't like us. They don't want us here, and they are bound and determined to push us out of here. And many of them said, we don't have any hope at all of ever getting along with them. Wow, that's interesting. Because a bunch of our president and a bunch of the people up in Washington, not just the president, but the leaders in the Senate and Congress on both sides of the aisle up there, they think that we're going to go over here and somehow get a peace agreement in the Middle East and everything will be cool. Well, everything's not going to be cool. The individuals over there in Israel who say, we don't think we're ever going to get along with them, they're exactly right. Well, in a way. They're not going to get along with them unless and until Messiah does come back, and he will straighten it up. He will put it together. Now look again at what we've got God saying here. Jealous for Zion. Friends, it doesn't matter whether or not the Jews over there are going through the rituals or not. It doesn't matter whether or not they are keeping the Passover or not. It doesn't matter whether or not they are going through the great day of atonement at Yom Kippur and doing all the right things, or building booths on their house to live in during the Feast of the Tabernacles. It doesn't matter whether or not they are, you know, eating unleavened bread. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether they believe in God or not. God has set his love on Jerusalem, and he is, it says here, jealous. And he is talking here about great fury. Now, for anyone who thinks God is not dealing with the Jews in this dispensation we are living in because he's dealing with the church, well, I sort of agree with that. God is not dealing with them. He is dealing with the church, and he is going to complete that work before he directly turns back to deal with Jerusalem and Israel again. But that doesn't mean that God is not watching over them, and doesn't mean that he has taken his eye off Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem's an interesting city, friends. Jerusalem is a place held holy by Christians, Jews, and Muslims. To the extent that they are in, that they are thinking in any terms at all, religion doesn't mean a lot to me. I don't care much for it. But I mean, all of these religious people, they all center in on Jerusalem. God too, isn't this? I think it's amazing. God has a particular love for and jealousy for this place, and it is a place. It's on the map. You can go to it. And it is called Jerusalem. The foundation of peace is what the name means. It is the city of the great King David. It is the city where Zion is located. And it is the city which, during the millennial reign, will be the capital of the world and the center of the world. And it is the city from which our Lord Jesus Christ will reign and rule with power. Now, I don't know of another city in the world that God ever said anything like this about. I come from a little town in East Texas called Quinlan, population 599, at least that's what it said on the sign on the highway outside of town. It doesn't say that anymore because actually it's grown a little bit, but not much. And I used to laughingly say about Quinlan, Texas, it's the hub of Western culture. Well, of course, it's nothing of the sort. But nevertheless, does God love Quinlan? Does he love the people in Quinlan? Sure. And the people in Waco, and the people in Longview, and the people in Oklahoma City and Edmond and, you know, New York City and Philadelphia. But there is only one city that God has ever said this about. Jerusalem will be called, look at this, I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Now, the I who is speaking here is Yahweh Tzabaoth. And when you see Yahweh, you can just start thinking Jesus, because that is exactly who is doing the talking here. It is he who will physically dwell in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is going to be called the City of Truth. Well, that's all we'll have time for today. Come back next week for dialogue.
Exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.